You know, there's people in the Bible that just did marvelous things. And there's people that are mentioned hundreds of times in the Bible, and there's people that did a great job and not even their names are mentioned. But then there's people that are just mentioned once or twice in the scripture, and they did a work almost next to impossible. And I want to speak to you, you know, of over 6,000 people mentioned in the Bible, I am always amazed of those that did such a great work and did not receive any recognition, at least in this world, from people. And there in Romans chapter 16, verse 22, if you turn there, please, Romans chapter 16 and verse 22, just read this one verse. And it says, I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. There, some time ago, the Lord gave me a message from this verse. And here's a mention of name that you hardly find anywhere else in the scripture. But what a great, great work he did. And he served here together with the Apostle Paul. And we know that there's no doubt that that Romans was given by God through Apostle Paul. But still, he was in jail and he did not write it literally. He received it from the Holy Spirit. And then Tertius, he is the one that actually penned it down, that wrote this epistle. We don't know if Tertius was only wrote the book of Romans, but there's other books, other places mentioned where someone else wrote for the Apostle Paul. And we won't go there, but you can go to Colossians 4:18, 2 Thessalonians 3:17, 1 Corinthians 16:21, and so on, where Paul used other people to write since he was not able to. He was in prison. And then maybe his eyes weren't too good, because to the Galatians he said, look with how big letters I write to you. And others they wrote for him. But nonetheless, if you think that if Tertius wrote this epistle, look at the great work he did. He has a part in every soul that's been won through the book of Romans. Every sermon that has been preached in all the languages this Bible, marvelous book, has been translated to, and all the time this is preached from and souls are gotten saved, this man has a part in all of that. You know, and sometimes we can think, oh, I'm just a nobody and I don't have many abilities and I can't do what others can't, and that may be so. But God can still use us to do something for him, even beyond our wildest imagination. If you keep your finger here, let's go to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah in chapter 36 here. There's another example here of the same thing. Jeremiah 36, verse 4. Jeremiah was in prison also here. Then it said, then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord, which he had spoken unto him, unto a roll of a book. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up, I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Therefore go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth, and so on. See, there we have another example where God gave a book to Jeremiah, but he couldn't write it. So he appointed Baruch to write the book of Jeremiah, and not just write it, but go and preach it to the people, because he could not do that himself. So here we have a marvelous thing. You know, the Bible, we could say so much about the Bible. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will never pass away. You know, and forever is God's word settled in heaven. Psalms 119, 89. You know, and so on and so on. And then have a part in that marvelous work. I know you and I will never be used to write a book of the Bible. We could be used to maybe proclaim it or help translate it or help print it or help give it out to someone, the written word of God. You know, I believe we have a perfect Bible. Nothing can be and should be added or subtracted from it. God has been so gracious in us giving us the Bible. You know, in our home, we always had the Bible. We always had it. But we only read it on Good Friday, to be honest. That's the most holy holiday for the Mennonites. That day, they cannot go and visit anybody. They have to stay at home. They can't laugh very loud. On that day of the year, they have to read a Bible or at least a story from the Bible, whatever. And, you know, and we didn't, I had never read the Bible except in that day I had to. So, but when the Lord Jesus Christ saved us and transformed us, that was the difference, you know. That's when we start reading and reading. And I myself, I had never gone to school. I didn't know even hardly how to read a little bit in German, much less in Spanish or in English, that I had to learn afterwards. But I'm so grateful. And you know, at the age of 19, my dad let me go to Canada to work, and I worked in a farm where I could only speak Spanish or German, and the owner of the farm, the boss, he didn't know any of those, so I was forced to learn English some. And I have often said that was worth it. If only I could learn to read God's word, that was worth it. That was worth it. So here we read of this man, Tertius, who wrote the book of Romans. You know, and if you have not involved yourself in God's work and anyhow in going or praying or giving or all three, then we should honestly listen to God, because He no doubt wants us to be involved, every one of us. You know, there's a missionary saying, you can find on the internet all kinds of missionary sayings, and it says, a neutral soldier in time of war is the best ally that the enemy has. A neutral soldier in the time of war is the best ally the enemy has. So just with us being neutral in God's work, not working, not giving all that we can for God, then by just us being neutral, we are already supporting the enemy by our neutral life. And what Christian saved by the blood of Jesus Christ would ever want to do something like that? So that's why we need to give our life, our talents, our money, everything to further the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in this world. If you and I are not called to go, then we surely are called to pray and to give, no doubt. You know, I'm going through the book of Ezra on Sunday in our church on Wednesday nights, and there's a marvelous thing. You know, when this king, it doesn't even say that he was a Christian. Maybe he was just a king converted to the Jews. And when he commanded, when he received the command of God to let the Jews go to Jerusalem and build the house of God, as you can read in Ezra and the book of Haggai and Zechariah some, you know, this is the thing. He said, those of you that want to go and build a house. And then he says further, but if you don't go, then you have to support them with money, silver and gold and so on. So he understood. Nobody could do nothing. Either you go or you give. So what's our part tonight? Go or give. There's no middle point for Christians. And even he understood that. If you go and build a house, and if you don't go and build a house, you'd rather stay in captivity than you support those that go with silver and gold. And you can read it there in chapter 1 of Ezra. So number one here with this Tertius, when he was willing to be used of God to write the book of Romans, he did that was a majestic assignment that he received. You know, all scripture is given by God. That was no man ever, I believe, ever desired to write the scripture, but was directly the moving of the Holy Spirit to make them, according to 2 Peter 1:21. They were made to do that. But they received such a majestic assignment to write God's word that there was no comparison to it. And you could tell that that's a majestic assignment for many reasons. Number one, because God told them to do so. God himself told them to do so. That shows us one thing. Once we are saved by grace, we can no longer decide what we want to do with our life, with our talents, with our money. It's God's decision. We only have to look in God's word, what he wants from us, and then surrender ourselves to do that, what God has do it. And that's what we do with our lives, with our money, with everything, our talents. We have to find God's leading and God's guiding in us doing his will. And no doubt that he would use us to spread the gospel around us and abroad and across around the world. That's what we need to do. We have a majestic assignment because God himself told us what to do in the scripture. It's a majestic assignment because it talks about the greatest person that has ever walked on this planet Earth, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. What a majestic assignment they had to describe, like the book of Romans does, in such unspeakable way, the work of our Lord Jesus Christ and how he saves and saves by grace and saves completely and saves forever those undone and condemned sinners. What a majestic person Tertius wrote about. You know, that's why it's such a marvelous thing if we can surrender and do something to make this majestic person known to the whole world, to the whole world. Like the pastor from People's Baptist Church in Toronto used to say, is it right for anybody to hear the gospel more than once before everybody has heard it at least once? You know, we need to let this world know that Jesus Christ has paid their sin, that Jesus Christ has forgiven their guilt, has shed his blood and has died and was buried and rose again, and that they can be saved instantly if they believe in Jesus Christ, receive him as Savior. You know, I have often think, though, that old couple that left, they were from the state of Kansas. They left their country, they left their family, they left their home, they left everything and came to Durango, Mexico, where we lived, religious but lost. We were socially cast out. You know, we were the worst kind of people there in our area, and they came and brought the gospel to us. We didn't even want it. We didn't even require them to come, and they still came. And even though we told them, we don't want you, I don't want what you're telling us, but they still kept on preaching to us. And one day, you know, our family start receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. I was far from being the first to get saved, but praise God that they never, never quit. They never went back. They kept on. They kept on preaching and preaching and witnessing and being faithful until us and other people have gotten saved. Praise God that they did something like that. So how can we now just say, God, thank you for bringing the gospel to us, but now close the holes and just fill my own self and don't care about the other thirsty and dying souls. We need to care about the lost world. But you know, then they had a majestic assignment to proclaim the gospel. Like Peter says, even the angels desire to do that. But they couldn't. God did not assign the angels to come and spread the gospel in this world. It's our privilege. It's our duty. It's our assignment. It's our number one priority in this world to bring the gospel to around the world. We need to do that. That's our commission. The Lord Jesus Christ commanded his small church of only 11 people, and they were weak people, and they were far from being a perfect church, but nonetheless, the Lord Jesus Christ commanded them to go into all the world and to preach the gospel unto all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And then he said he would be with them until the end of the world. Oh, what a privilege we have to do that. And if you and I are not called to go, then we are certainly called to give. You know, in our church, we have our Spanish church is not there in Cuauhtémoc. It's about a small town about 40 kilometers out of Cuauhtémoc. There had never been a church until we planted the first one. There was only Catholics and JWs. That's all there was. And you know, it's sometimes you can't even find that small town on the map. But we purposed one thing. We wanted to start a church that would be used to spread the gospel through the world. You know, and from that small church, now we have between 90 and 100 people on Sunday. There's, according to government, there's less than 4,000 people in that small town. But we support now 26 missionaries with $100 a month. And there's not even one rich person, not even, you would say, a middle class. We are all from the middle class down. They're all workers. That's our very highest priority in our church. Our mission conference, we have no higher activity in the year than our missions conference. We need to do that. That's a serious business. God has called us and given us the privilege to do a majestic assignment. Number two, when Tertius gave himself to write this epistle, that was a missionary association. You know something, to write the book of the epistle of Paul of Romans, the epistle was given to Paul. It says in Romans 1:1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separate unto the gospel of God. The epistle was given to Paul. But then because Tertius associated himself to the missionary is because he was used to write this epistle. So look at the picture here. Paul, for being in a prison, he couldn't materially write it because he was in prison. He didn't probably have the material where he could write it on. But so Paul needed someone to write it. And then Tertius, he associated with the missionary, and those two together did the great work that we have in the book of Romans. You know, and since our town being so small, we don't get a lot of missionaries. We have to go and look for them, literally. We have to call missionaries, see if they would come to our mission conference. We support missionaries that we have never seen, just on the recommendation of a pastor that we trust or somebody that recommends. We support some missionaries that we have never seen. But you know, because we think that we need the missionary. The missionaries are not a burden to us. At least we never want that to be. You know, how can we ever, if the Great Commission was given to go into all the world, how can we as a local church ever fulfill that without missionaries? How could a church at Antioch fulfill it without missionaries? They knew that they couldn't. So the missionaries are not a burden. They don't, there's another missionary. He just comes and tries to get our money. No. That's an opportunity that we can go through the world through the missionaries. A missionary association. We associate with many people that maybe we shouldn't. Or maybe that's not too healthy of association. But if we associate ourselves, the church, with godly missionaries that do God's work and that go and proclaim the gospel and are sent out right, that's a blessing, that's a privilege that we have. A missionary association. You know, another man I admire very much is Jonathan, King Saul's son, remember? There in 1 Samuel chapter 13, it says that there was no Israel, they had nothing to fight with against the Philistines. The Philistines had captured all the blacksmiths of Jerusalem and captivated them, so they couldn't make nothing, no spear, no anything to fight. It says only Saul and his son Jonathan had a spear. They're only two. See, so if Jonathan's armor bearer wanted to do something, what did he have to do? He had nothing to fight against the Philistines with. He didn't have the training. He didn't have the tools. He didn't have anything to do with, but he still wanted to do something. So he went and associated himself to someone that had what he did not have. And that way he made a difference for Israel. That way Jonathan and this armor bearer, whose name is not even given in Scripture, but what a great work we can read. And that work is proclaimed in every language where the Bible is translated. There talks about this great armor bearer that associated himself to Jonathan. And that way, Jonathan and this armor bearer, they defeated the whole army of the Philistines and liberated Israel. When King Saul and 600 men, they were sitting there underneath the trees in the shade, and the word says in the military training, that's all they did, military training, but they never put it to work. But here, Jonathan and his armor bearer, you know, that's so wise when people know who to associate with, like Tertius did and like Jonathan's armor bearer did. So if we only associate ourselves with our money to Walmart and to the things of this world, that won't help us much. We need at least some of our money and pray to God how much He wants us to give and associate ourselves that way with the missionaries, with the church program to support missionaries around the world, and that way do God's work, and that way count. And the fruit of it being put in our account, like Paul said to the Philippians. You know, we need to do that. We can do that. That's what Tertius did. He associated with the missionary, with Paul. What a marvelous thing. You know, like the Israelites that were there, as we saw yesterday, there in the caves. We are not in a cave, but sometimes of all the material goods, we make our own cave, and we feel safe and comfortable in our cave. Oh, we got this and we got that, and we have enough money, and we just barely make it, so then sometimes we are afraid to give because maybe we won't have enough left. And then what are we going to protect ourselves with? But that's not, you know, our protection comes from God, not from the material things. We need to associate yourself. If the church can see, you know, that's another thing. If your money is not in the Lord's work, then our heart is not there either. That's a very sad situation. Do God's work without our heart being in it. So once we give and once we support, and if we give to missions, that shows that our heart is with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we love what He loved, and we gave into what He gave Himself to, and we want what He wants, and we want this world to hear the gospel like Jesus Christ commanded us to do. That's how we can tell that our heart is with Jesus Christ, and that we want what He wants, and we give ourselves into that, what He told us to, a missionary association. Have you ever thought that you really need the missionary? I need them. Our church needs them, because we need to fulfill the Great Commission. I can't go into all the countries of the world, and I don't even want to. There are some countries where I hear about missionaries I say, God, praise the Lord that I can give and pray. I don't have to go there. Would you want to go? You know, I met a family the other day. They're surrendered, a Mexican missionary family. They're surrendered to go to North Korea. How they will get in, I don't know. But they're surrendered to do so. There's another Mexican missionary family. They're surrendered to go to the Muslims and preach the gospel to them. We don't hear many good things about Muslims, do we, today? But that's such a challenge to see young couples to surrender to go to those places where you and I probably would never surrender to go to, would we? So that's why it's such an honor to associate yourself with those missionaries that do God's work. People that go to a different country, you know, Toronto was, I hear, it's not a very easy city to work in. I met a missionary years ago that was going to Toronto from Mexico, and he had like an attitude, I'll win those Mexicans in Toronto in no time. He didn't say it in those words, but you know, the way he talked. And he did go to Toronto, but very shortly after he came back from Toronto, and they never went back again. So then people go to difficult places. So that's why we should associate ourselves. If we then can't go along physically, at least our prayers be then with them and our monthly support be with them. What better work can we do? And that way we're fulfilling the Great Commission and saying we're going through the whole world through the missionaries that God has called, and God told their church to separate and to send them. Now they're willing, they've surrendered. Now we can have a part in helping them to go where the Holy Spirit called them to, and their church has separated them to. It's an amazing thing if we can do that. You know, and you'll never miss. If we do that, that should be our number one investment in missions. Number one. There's nothing worthwhile investing in so much as in missions. That's the greatest enterprise that we can work in. Not only was that a majestic assignment, but it was a missionary association, but it was a mature action to give yourself to do such a work like Tertius did. You know, it's not easy to give yourself to God without you knowing what God wants from you. Wherever God will send you to if you surrender. Have you ever felt that fear? If I surrender, what will God do with me? Where will He send me to? And He won't tell us ahead of time until He touches. Go there. Go to that place. Go to that country. And then we surrender to do so. But He didn't tell Abraham where He would send him to. Just start. Leave your people. Leave your country. Go, and I'll show you on the way. God, if I leave everything, what if You're going to lead me to that place where I don't want to go? You know, and sometimes it's bad to say it, but as growing up in our religious community, when God touched me that I should go as a missionary to the Mennonites, I literally told Him, God, I would go anywhere in the world except there. But you know, I could never convince God to send me to a different place. Have you ever tried to convince God of something different than what you thought He was showing you? I have tried it more than once, but never were successful. The only thing I could do is surrender to what He had planned. And since I never wanted to go there, and that's exactly where God sent us to, but then when you don't want to go, but once you surrender to do so, then you say, oh, praise God for allowing me to serve Him. When we were in Bible college, there was this the president of the Bible school there in Mexico. It was an American missionary named Louis Kaler. I don't know how many of you ever. He received lots and lots help from churches here in Albuquerque. But then one time, he told us in class that God had told him to go to a different country, And he said, okay, God, I'm willing, but the church is growing. We were having over 1,000 in attendance on Sundays, and just help me to get a pastor and then I'll go. The Bible school at that time was the biggest, the largest independent Baptist Bible college in Mexico in those days. I'm not saying today, but in those days. He said, just let me find a man to take care of all this and I'll go. And God would say, just go, go. But he would say back, God, but look what I have to do. Let me find, just go, surrender and go. And he made a story a lot longer. And one time he said, I surrender to God. Okay, I'm going to not fight you anymore. I'm just surrendering. And then he said, now God told me, now you can stay. He said, all that God wanted, see if my life was still on the altar of obedience. Oh, man. How many of us would miserably be fail if God would do something just to see if we are surrendered to him? Sometimes we are so such a comfort place that we have worked ourselves out. And God cannot even touch us because we wouldn't dare, some of us, forsake everything and go to a brand new place. See if our life is still on the altar, still surrendered to God. That's what God really wants from us. See if we are still surrendered. And once we are surrendered, there's no problem in praying and giving and even going. Because God changes everything with us, within us once we surrender to do God's will. A mature action, that's what he did. Tertius, the life of a Christian is to unite ourselves with the missionaries. I go as far as saying our Christian life is not even complete unless we associate ourselves with this great commission. And the only way that we can fulfill it is supporting our church that they can support the missionaries. So our Christian life is not even complete. We're immature Christians if we don't do that. So we need to grow in the Lord. We need to do what God wants us to. You know, there, the Antiochian church, when those people came there in Acts chapter 11, first there's a whole bunch of people that got saved, and then Barnabas trained them as far as he could. Then he went and looked for Apostle Paul, and they trained them for another year. And now they were the first time they were even organized into a church. And after that, the first thing, the Bible says that there came this prophet, and they said there was a famine. They were going to famine the whole world that would even affect them too. But the first thing that new church did is that they took up offering to help the poor in Jerusalem. They didn't first think of themselves. See, and no wonder those are the first ones that were called Christians. They had been saved not a long time, a whole year, but they had been saved already a couple of years back there, as you can read. But probably the term Christian is not equal to being saved. But we get saved and then we mature in our Christian life. And then we're Christians because we try to do or we start to do things as Christ Jesus did them. No wonder such a great work they did. See, there in 2 Corinthians 8, you can read that the Corinthians should give to the missionaries so they would receive from the fruit of the missionaries that there should be equality. Not just the Christians in Corinth have all the material goods and the missionaries all the spiritual, but they should interchange how? With the church supporting them financially, and then God would give them some of their fruit on their account. That's a great thing that God teaches us there. In closing, let me tell you that Charles Osgood, he related the story one time of there was an old folks home, and there was two ladies that had been that had a stroke, and one of the ladies her left side was very weakened, and then the other lady, her right side was weakened through the stroke. So they were in the old folks' home, and they were both professional piano players, and they never played again because they couldn't play with one hand. One time, the man in charge of that old folks' home, he said, "Why don't you ladies play together? One of the ladies could use her left hand and the other could use her right hand." And that's not only how a beautiful friendship rose between those two, but again, they played professionally the piano because they associated one with another. You know, one just by themselves, they couldn't do much good in this world anymore. But with associating with someone else, they did a great work. That's how it is with us. If you and I want to do something just by ourselves, we won't accomplish much. But if we associate ourselves with our local church and we work there, and then together with the church, we associate ourselves with Jesus Christ and with the missionaries that He has called and sent, we can do a work that nobody else can unless we associate ourselves with God. Everything that we do, our lives, our money, our time, some of it, everything associate ourselves that God can use us. You know, I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, what a great work he did. Who else could have done that unless he would have given himself to God to work with the missionaries? Would you and I be willing tonight to just say, "God, I'm going to associate myself with you to fulfill the Great Commission in this world"? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your grace, your marvelous opportunity that we could serve you. We are so weak and can't do much in ourselves, but help us give ourselves to you. And that way, you can use us to fulfill the Great Commission that you have commanded us to fulfill. Thank you, Jesus.